You're listening to a City on a Hill podcast. We'd love you to use and share this podcast, but please refrain from editing the content without permission from City on a Hill. If you'd like to know more about our church, or if you'd like to donate to the work of City on a Hill, please visit cityonahill.com.au.
City on a Hill, please take a seat. Our reading today is from the book of 1 Corinthians. We're in chapter 1. Steve is going to preach to us from verse 1 to 13 and then also 26 to 31. So I'll read to 13, give you a heads up, and then we're going to skip forward to 26. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus and our brother Sothenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Verse 26. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord.
Good morning, City on a Hill.
Good morning.
Good to see you all here. Well, things are going pretty well, aren't they, at our church? City on a Hill, we are flying. We are flying at the moment. Now, I hate to boast and talk numbers, but we had over 800 people here on Easter. That's amazing, right? It's a massive Easter. At less than a year, as Dom said, a year ago, we were one congregation. Now we're three congregations. We have grown by roughly, I think it's approximately 80% in that time. It's crazy, crazy growth. It's great. We just exceeded 75,000 to rejuvenate the buildings here and to improve our administration. That's amazing. We are looking at planning a new City on a Hill campus in the Geelong Growth Corridor next year. Things are going really, really well, aren't they? It's exciting to be here, and actually the word is out. I recently was talking with a friend who goes to another church here in Geelong, and they said, and I quote, "You guys are all the rage at the moment, aren't you?" City on a Hill seems to have a reputation now, and the word is out. People are talking about City on a Hill Geelong. There is a buzz about City on a Hill Geelong, and I suppose it's a bit of a buzz coming to this church and being a part of it. As you sit here, as you praise God here and hear the word here, it's a bit of a buzz. It's exciting coming each week and seeing so many new people. Each week, it's hard to keep up. Our weekly gospel community groups throughout the week are bursting at the seams. We need more leaders to take more groups now. Our City Kids program is full all the time. So many young children and families. It's exciting. Our youth group has, in a couple of years, gone from a handful of kids to now, 30, 40 kids. It's amazing. And our staff team is expanding to a point now because we need to seek to administer to all of this. Today and over the next month, we want people to start consider how they might actually be a part of it here at City on a Hill, how you can join and be a part of this amazing movement here at Geelong. It's all hands on deck because City on a Hill, we are going really well and we're growing and we're pumping. Now, that sounds like famous last words, right? It really does. You know, like words that people say before something undoes it all. There's words like, what does this button do? Or watch me do this. Or, I really love spicy food, give it here. Don't go there. When you hear words like that, you just know something is going to give to undo it. And when I say to you, gee, aren't we going really, really well here at City on a Hill? You just get the feeling that something has to give at that point. Something might undo it. And today is an opportunity for us to think about that. Maybe I'm a bit of a pessimist. I mean, I can't bring myself to enjoy the moment. Maybe I'm a glass half empty sort of guy. I actually am. I'm a bit of a pessimist. But I'm always a little bit nervous when things are going really well. They are going great. Therefore, I'm really wary, right? I rejoice, but I'm watchful. I smile at everything, but I'm assessing it as well. Maybe that's just me. I doubt it, though. I reckon there's a lot of people, many of you, many of us, are aware that when things are going really, really well in a church, it's actually time to take stock and to watch out, to be aware. And today is a great time for us to take stock. 1 week of pause between Easter and starting up Daniel again. Just to acknowledge where we are at as a church, but also to identify the possible pitfalls, the potential problems that could arise. So today, I want us to look at the good, the bad, and the ugly of church. The good, the bad, and the ugly. So that we can acknowledge the good rightly, but we can be aware of and avoid the potential bad and the potential ugly. So I want to pray right now that God's Spirit would help us to do this. Let's bow our heads. Lord God, thank you that this is your church. And things are going really well. We praise you for that. Thank you, Lord. But Lord, today as we pause, would you help us to really think upon ourselves rightly, to have a sober view of who we are as a church? And Lord, would you please open our eyes to the potential bad and ugly? Please help us to be aware, Lord, of how the enemy might want to come in and undo it all. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we look at a church not too dissimilar from our own, actually, in order to learn from it. A church that is pumping and is vibrant and lively and firing and growing. It's a growing church, the Church of Corinth. It was founded by Paul himself in his second missionary journey, and you can read about that in the book of Acts, where he met a couple called Priscilla and Aquila. They hear the gospel from Paul, they become converts, and he starts a church. And Paul stays in the city of Corinth for a year and a half, preaching the gospel of Jesus to the people there. And a new church was formed, some from the Jewish community that was already there. See, Paul went to the synagogue first. He preached the gospel. Some were convinced that Jesus was in fact the Jewish Messiah, and they proclaim him king and Lord. They come out because they get chucked out. That's what usually happened to Paul. Gets chucked out of the synagogue, and therefore he then goes and preaches to all the Greeks, that is the non-Jews in that city, and many of them are converted, and the church is pumping, and it's going, and it's great, it's thriving. The Corinth itself, the city, was an amazing city. It was a thriving city, the third biggest in the Roman Empire, full of people from all tribes, tongues, and cultures. It was a melting pot of the Roman Empire right there in this place, and very strategic for the gospel. So for all these people and all these cultures to hear the gospel, then take it out. And the church of Corinth reflected this diversity of this city. It was full of people from all walks of life, an eclectic mix of people. So this is an amazing church to be part of, an exciting church to be part of, a vibrant church. It was all the rage. People were talking about it. And this church was close to Paul's heart. You see, he planted it and he labored over it and he loved this church, the church of Corinth. But this church has an underbelly where things have started to come undone and now threaten to tear it apart. And Paul the Apostle writes this letter, the letter of 1 Corinthians, to warn this church, to help them identify the threats, to wake them up and sober them up, and to help them before all of his hard work is undone. Paul wants them to look at the good, the bad, and the ugly, to get them back on track. And so this letter serves as a terrific case study for us today. We can step back today, pause, and assess as we look at this church. It serves as a way for us to identify the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good, the bad, and the ugly of church. Here's the question as I read out the first part. Which of those, the good, the bad, or the ugly, will Paul emphasize first? Which will he go after first and hit? Let's read it from verse 3, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and in all knowledge, even as a testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a good start, isn't it? It's a great start to this letter. I can imagine the Corinthians hearing this letter read out for the first time from their founding church planter, now sending the letter to them, and they're thinking, oh, this is a good start. This is great. It's positive. You see, what Paul does here is he's not coming out swinging. He doesn't do that. He's not coming out and having a go at the Corinthians for all their faults, and there are many. The first thing he does is he identifies the good and he praises God for it. It's really important, friends, that we identify the good first. And there's two reasons for that. To identify the good in ourselves, to identify the good in others, and to identify the good in our church first. There's two reasons. It will help you not to be a critical and judgmental person. If you go after the good first, you're pretty likely not to be a critical person. They tend to go after the bad first, you see. And secondly, it will help others to listen and receive your advice and correction and rebuke when you need to give it. Yeah? So it's good for you and it's good for others. Here's an example of this. Just this week, it helps me with my parenting to be like this. Just this week, Sebastian had his 6th birthday and he got this great present. It came all the way from Europe, from Poland, and it was a thing called Kobe blocks. I don't know who's heard of Kobe blocks? A couple of you. We don't know about it here. It's huge in Europe. It's basically Lego, but it's made by this company called Kobe in Poland. And he had this Supermarine Spitfire, which is a World War II British warplane, right? Really cool. And it's like Lego, but it's better. It's better than Lego. And because they do awesome models of World War I and World War II military hardware. So they do the planes, tanks, ships, and field artillery. And, you know, it's great stuff. Super cool for little boys to build, right? With their dads. Fantastic. It's really for me. So anyway, it came all the way and it actually arrived on his birthday. We were expecting it would take maybe another week or so. But anyway, knock at the door. Here it is. Happy birthday, Seb, right? Wow, so cool. So he gets it, runs in, and he straight rips it apart, gets it open, and he starts doing it. He starts going for it. And straight away, he's not reading the instructions. And he's just getting the blocks and he's having a quick glance and then he's trying to put it together and he's getting frustrated because he's putting in the wrong spots and he's trying to push it together and it wasn't going. And I was just watching. And it was really interesting. And so I stopped him. And the first thing I said to him was this: Sebastian, you are really good at building Lego. You are really amazing at following instruction, because in the past he's built tons of Lego, right? And he's really good at it. He builds it without me. But then the second thing I said was, but son, you're rushing it. You need to slow down. You need to look at the instructions and place the Kobe blocks gently in their right spot and then push them together and it'll happen. And you know what he did? He looked at me, thought about it for a moment, he said, okay, Dad. And he just got it. And then he actually, amazingly, 6-year-old, he did it, right? He actually did it. He totally got it. And so it came together really fast. You see, the first thing I did was identify the good. And then he was able to accept my correction. The first thing as Christians is to identify the good, friends. Christians are people who identify the good and the noble before anything else. We are not fault finders or critical or judgmental like the world tries to paint Christians. It's not true. Unfortunately, many Christians have been like that. But we seek the good, the noble first, in order to then help. You see, this thing of seeking the good first, it helps in our parenting, it helps in our friendships, it helps in assessing other people that we interact with each day. Gee, it helps in our marriages, doesn't it? See, criticism is like an acid. Correction is like an acid. If that's all you get all the time, it wears down, it corrodes, and it wrecks relationships. You see, this helps in our belonging together in a church, to be people who look for the good and celebrate it and grateful to God and grateful that God, people possess the good. It prevents us from being fault finders first. And it helps others then to listen and receive and help correction and even rebuke at times if they need it. Friends, at City on a Hill, we need to be a church like that. Amen. To identify the good in each other first. That's the first thing we're looking for and seeking. and to identify the good in our church, not to come in here and criticize everything, but to look for the good first. How many times have I spoken to Christians who the first thing they just keeps coming out of their mouth, fault, nitpicking, error. It wears after a while. I start to avoid people like that. We all do. It's the first thing that comes out of their mouths over and over again. We aren't to be like that, friends. Not in this church. Not in God's church. Because there's no such thing as a perfect church anyway, is there? City on a Hill, Geelong, is far from being perfect. I can tell you that we have a lot of work to do here at this church before we can say, gee, we're anywhere near to being perfect. But friends, there's so much to be grateful for that God has blessed us with. Biblical preaching and teaching, that's so good. Ministries that seek to reach out into the community, into the schools, through the op shop, our play groups, our gospel communities, so good. Open-handed generosity that you have shown above and beyond your giving, 75 grand, we can now fix the buildings and so it can be a blessing to our community and to the community of Geelong. That's good. Beginning to be a prayerful and dependent people, 20 people at our prayer night last Monday. That's good. It's only a start. We can be better, but that's great, isn't it? That's good. An openness to people from all walks of life. That's good. And a desire to be contemporary and contextual so that people who are on the outside, who may never have heard the gospel before, or who may be estranged from the church, might come back in and be blessed. That's good. I believe that's why our church has actually grown so quickly, because there's a lot of good here. God is doing a lot of good things. And it's vital that we recognize them as good and be grateful to God and give him the praise for it. Paul is so grateful for the Corinthian church. He loves them. And that's the first thing. We are people who identify the good that God is doing here at City on a Hill, Geelong. And we praise him for it. Amen. That's the first thing. But that doesn't mean we aren't aware of the potential problems and issues here, of the bad and the ugly. But Paul the Apostle sees them very clearly in the Corinthian church when he looks at them, and he isn't afraid to address them. As soon as he affirms them and he praises God for the good in the Corinthians, he identifies that good, he then is ready, and they are ready to identify and correct the bad. Look in verse 10. This is when he does it. This is pretty full on. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no division among you, but that you might be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each of you says, well, I follow Paul. Well, I follow Apollos. Well, I follow Cephas. Well, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? See, Paul identifies the bad. Factionalism. Factions. That's the bad. The first thing that we need to be on watch for as City on a Hill grows and more people come and people come to know the Lord Jesus through the gospel being proclaimed is factionalism, factions, people picking favourites, people choosing who they will follow. It's sort of like the old days at school, isn't it? Used to pick the two captains out, they would sit down at the front and, yep, you. In the church, we do it the other way around. The people pick their captains, right? Oh, this, I'm going to follow him. I'm going with him. We're going with them. factionalism is dumb. It's foolish. But it seems to be one of the enemy's most favorite ways of causing division and disharmony and destruction in the church. Church sort of becomes like this episode of My Kitchen Rules, doesn't it? How bad is that show, by the way? Like, it's horrible. Every time it's on, the ads come on, I say to the kids, don't be like them. That's a great example of not what to be like. And society's like that. Always factions causing divisions. Worst show on TV. Although next week it's going to get pretty hot, I heard. But anyway, don't watch it. see how the flesh wants to watch it and get involved? Oh, it's insidious. Horrible that people need to be excused from the table. Manu, you are excused from the table, all right? Sometimes people need to be excused from church. Like, seriously, it's terrible. I've seen so many churches in my time split and people hurt, all because people started picking favourites. It's how it starts. Then they whisper to each other. And then they start white-anting the other team or the other captains. Dumb, foolish, and sinful. Listen again to why Paul thinks it's absolutely crazy and it makes no sense at all. Listen to this. It's been reported, we'll go over it again, it's been reported to me by Chloe's people, there's quarrelling among you. And what I mean is that each of you says, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I follow Cephas, I follow Christ. And here it is, here's the kicker. Listen to this. What a great question. Is Christ divided? No. Our captain, friends, is Jesus. Amen. We are all on the same side. Let's not make our church into a competition. I follow Paul. I follow Peter. I follow Apollos. I follow Andrew. I follow Steve. I follow Sylvan. I follow Dominic. I follow Louis or Brendan. Or whoever else you want to choose. Or even, here's the most subtle of all deceptions. How's this one? I follow Christ as if no one else is. How arrogant is that? We all follow Jesus. We've all been saved and redeemed by his blood on the cross. That's what we celebrated last week. And we're all here by grace. So how crazy is it to think that we could be here by our own merit? Or by our own prowess or intellectual or theological superiority or our own spiritual superiority? You see, friends, here it is. Grace is the great leveller. And we have been levelled. All of us have been levelled. Amen. You come to Jesus, we're brothers and sisters. One captain, one team, one baptism, one Lord of all at City on a Hill, Geelong. I'm not saying this today. Please don't hear me saying this because I've observed factionalism here in our church. I haven't yet, which is fantastic, right? But I know when a church starts growing and it proclaims the gospel and people start getting saved and baptized, factionalism is just around the corner because the enemy is always around the corner. And it starts to creep in. So today is us taking stock. Yes, things are going great. We can be grateful, but hey, let's watch out for that. We need to identify the bad and not engage in it. So let's be on our guard against factions. And when you hear it whispered, friends, just don't engage. Just don't engage. Step back. If you've fallen into this sin of picking sides and factionalism, I want to say stop. Repent and remember who your captain is and who your brothers and sisters are. Your captain is not Andrew. It's not me or anyone else. It's Jesus. He's our captain. And we're here by his grace in this church. So that's the bad that the Corinthians had fallen into. And that's the bad that we need to be aware of as we gratefully acknowledge the good. And finally, Paul identifies the ugly. As I read this passage from verse 26, I wonder if you can spot the ugliness going on here that he's describing. Verse 26, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth." You know, they're pretty ordinary people like you and me. "But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God." Boasting is ugly. "And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption." It all came through Jesus, not yourself. "So that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." So we are to boast, but not in ourselves, in him. You see, Paul identifies the ugliness here in the Corinthian church. There's a lot of boasting going on, but it stems from one thing, and this is the ugly thing: comparisons. Comparing each other, which leads to boasting. It's so ugly. So the second thing we need to be on watch for as we grow as a church and people start coming to Jesus through the gospel is comparing ourselves to each other. Taking our eyes from Jesus, lowering them and looking at each other and going, "Oh, I wonder if I can be as good or better than him, or I am better than him, or, oh, gee, I couldn't possibly be better than them." None of that. Putting ourselves on a pedestal. You see, it's easy when things are going really well as a church. I go to City on a Hill and, gee, our church is going real well. The other churches around are struggling. Ugly. Ugly. Or we can look at other people and go, "Gee, I've got those spiritual gifts and I wish everyone else had them. I should be leading." Ugly. To compare and to lift yourself up. The Corinthians were masters of comparison, measuring each other up, especially when it came to spiritual gifts. And you can read about that later in the letter, and we'll read a little bit in a second. Those who are up front held in high esteem. Those who exercised word ministry gifts were honored above all. And comparisons, what they do is they create jealousy and bitterness and then division. Church splits. And it creates two essential categories of people: those who get lifted high and become arrogant, and those who are pushed down and are hurt. And I know that many of you can relate to this today. I've been in church long enough to know that most people have experienced that, either or. Listen to Paul's logic as he deals with comparisons in the church. It's later on in chapter 12, verse 21 to 26. Just listen to this. It's self-explanatory. 1 Corinthians 12, 21 to 26. "The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable." So friends, today, if you feel weak, if you feel like you have no place here, I want to say that you're indispensable, and the scripture says that today. "And on those parts of the body that we think less honourable, we bestow the greater honour, and on our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body of Christ, the church, giving greater honour to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body. That's the purpose. But that the members may have the same care for one another. We're to love each other. No matter what your giftedness is and all your talent or your abilities or where you think you are in the body. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honoured, all rejoice together. Now, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all do all work miracles? No. Do all possess gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. In the original language that begs the answer, no to each of those questions. So friends, if you think that you're great and that everyone should be like you, no. No. You are unique and God has gifted you and you need to honour others in the body with your ability and your gifts, yeah? Gee, it's ugly when the body is, members of the body are discarded. When we start to actually mutilate the body of Christ and cast people out or push them aside or raise ourselves up above them. Or even we feel inadequate, therefore we exit and don't participate. When people are put aside and trodden down, it's ugly. But it is beautiful. It's so beautiful when the body is whole. When each part is valued and given its role to play. And when all know that they can contribute and play their part and they need each other. That's beautiful. So what I want to say to you today is this. You have a place at City on a Hill. You are here not by accident. God has brought you here to be a part of this body. You belong. You are a part of His body here. And you may feel weak, but God chooses the weak to raise them up in order to bring low the arrogant and the conceited things of this world. If you feel weak and unable, then you are in the right place to be a part of this family, this church, this body of Christ, and participate. Over the next month, we're going to be talking about participating more in the life of the church and trying to encourage you to step up and to fill and make the body whole here. So I pray and I ask that you would consider that over the next weeks to come. How might you be part of the body and make it beautiful here? Some of you might know that I'm an ordained Anglican minister, right? Have been for 12 years. And when I came to City on a Hill, Geelong, with my wife, Melissa, and our kids about 3 years ago, I was asked straight away by Andrew, do you want to be a pastor? Do you want to preach and get up the front? And I said, no, I don't want that. What I want to do is sit up the back. And I just want to take it in. And I want to celebrate others getting up and doing that stuff. I want to celebrate Brendan and Louis preaching, young punks who are having a crack, right? How good is that? And I asked the Lord, help me not to compare my preaching to theirs or to Andrew's. And you know how hard it is for a preacher to do that? Like, it really is. You know, always assessing, well, I would have done it different, right? But God gave me this beautiful gift at the time, and I was able to sit there, take it in, and just praise God for everything He was revealing through their preaching to me. It was so good. No comparison. And I don't say this to boast, What I do is I say it to boast in Christ because he enabled me to do that, right? To take a back seat and let others go forward. How beautiful is that? It's such a gift to be that person who takes the back seat. It's so good. I want to say to you, friends, if anyone here who you crave leadership or you crave a position or you crave to exercise your gift in your own power, I want pray to the Lord Jesus to give you satisfaction in him first before you put yourself forward. And I want to say to those who might be a little tentative in coming forward, maybe you've been hurt in the past, maybe you've been pushed aside in the past in a church, I'm not sure. Maybe you've even been pushed aside here in this church. I want to say sorry for that. And you feel a little bit vulnerable and weak at the moment and you feel like you can't contribute or you don't know your place, I want to say you do have a place here. And I'd love to talk to you and pray that through with you and find you that place that God has got for you here in our midst. So friends, it's a great week, so just pause for a moment to look at the important stuff here. Things are going great. It's fantastic to be part of this church. Amen. It's good. It's really good. We're not perfect, but it's good. And we ought to celebrate that, be grateful for that. But let's be aware of factions, of the bad, and stay united in Jesus. And let's love each other and care for each other and serve each other. Let's avoid the ugly and make the body of Jesus whole and beautiful. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much that you have sent your son Jesus into the world to die for sins, to rise to new life in order to bring the Holy Spirit, that he would breathe into people and then join them together as a church, your body on earth. We thank you so much for that, Lord God. Oh, please protect our church. Help us, Lord, to be the people, be people who identify the good first and celebrate it and praise you for it. Loving others, not being critical or judgmental, so that we might be able to help them if they need it. But also, Lord, I pray that we would be aware of the bad and the ugly in church, of divisions, factionalism, comparisons. Protect us from the evil one who seeks to plant those wicked seeds in our hearts and our minds. I pray, Lord God, that none of that would germinate in us and that only the good fruit would bear in us, Lord. Love, service, gratefulness, goodness, kindness, self-control, all of these, Lord, are beautiful. May we be a beautiful church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to know more about our church, or if you'd like to donate to the work of City on a Hill, please visit cityonahill.com.au.